Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well on this beautiful, beautiful morning. I don't know about y'all, but I love it when the air gets a little crisp and it's just beautiful time of year for me. I just love this time of year. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Just love the Lord. Love each and every one of you. So glad you're able to join us today as we are going to continue the celebration, our pastor's appreciation of Brother Eddie and his family and all that they've done in the ministry and for their 30 years of service. But we're just going to continue right now just turn all our attention over to the Lord and just let Him minister to us and touch each and every one of us. Like I said, it's so good to have y'all with us. Those of you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Now, if anyone has a prayer request or need, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Anybody got that testimony of praise and where God is already touched, already healing, already mended, already provided? We just want to give Him all the honor and glory. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we're thankful for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we just want to lift you up and honor you. Because our God, how great thou art, dear Lord, how wonderful, dear Lord. And we just love and appreciate everything that you do for us, dear Lord. And our words aren't justly enough. But dear Lord, may we just praise you. Dear Lord, we ask this morning as we start this service, dear Lord, and already been in prayer for our service today, Lord, that you'll accept every hand raised, every instrument played, every song sung, dear Lord, is that we just praise and worship you. Dear Lord, each and every situation, there's so many needs right now that's coming across. Even in our small congregation, dear Lord, we ask for you to give the peace to those that have lost loved ones, dear Lord, those in the hospitals, those that have gone through so many situations, dear Lord, but we know that you are faithful, and dear Lord, that you're mighty, that you are our God. And, dear Lord, we release these families to you in these situations. You see the hands now that were raised. Lord, you know the spoken and unspoken prayer requests. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts. And, dear Lord, we need you now. We need you to minister to us, dear Lord. We need you to protect us, to guide us, and to lead us in each and everything that we go forth with in our daily walk. Lord, we're with anticipation looking forward, dear Lord, to that day that you call us home. And, dear Lord, we love and praise you. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, and we just need you. Dear Lord, again for this celebration, dear Lord, we ask you to continue to bless our pastor and his family. We thank you, dear Lord, for that ministry that you've given each and every one of us to be a part of. And, dear Lord, we ask for you to strengthen and guide us as we go forward. Dear Lord, now as we turn this service over to you, Lord, we just want to praise you and worship you with song and music. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Going to do things a little different. You can be seated if you can right now. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering and just going to continue to worship the Lord. Just praise His name. I haven't given them a chance to let them know it's changing up a little bit this morning. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Sister Penny and asked her, could I do the song today? The title of the song is called The Pastor. I just wanted to give honor where honor is due today. My throat's kind of graspy from singing so much over the past 2 days, but I'm going to work through it.
Bless you, Lord.
Just a soldier of the cross, not afraid to pay the cost, and he gladly gave his all for the call on his life. He's a shepherd of the flock, solid as a rock, and when things are at their darkest, he'll lead you to the light. You call him pastor, you call him friend, you call him anytime you have reached your end. He's always there to comfort, he's there to pray you through. He's the pastor that God has given you. But it's the path that he chose, and he wouldn't trade one soul for all the gold in this world. And you'll always find him there with a smile and with a prayer. He lives to reach the lost and preach the word. You call him pastor, you call him friend, you call him anytime you have reached your end. He's always there to comfort, he's there to pray you through. He's the pastor that God has given you.
Time to not be so emotional.
What do you say to someone who feels like they've lost it all, over the edge with no one there to break their fall? What do you say to someone who feels so unloved, giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough? What do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home, and everything is out of their control? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no
heartbreak, He can take you through.
So before you think that you're too lost to save,
remember there is nothing greater than grace.
What do you say to someone whose life is on the line? They're unsure what happens after their last breath in time. What do you say to someone who's only known abuse? The walls they built to save themselves makes it hard to hear the truth. What do you say to a life of regret that's trying so hard to forget? What do you say to all the dreams unmet?
There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through.
So before you think that you're too lost to save,
remember there is nothing greater than grace.
So don't
give up, don't let go, don't give up, you are not alone. There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through.
So before you think that you're too lost to save, oh, before you think that you're too lost to save, so before you think that you're too lost to save,
remember there is nothing greater than
wonderful, beautiful day the Lord's given us. Have an opportunity just to worship Him and praise God for all that He does. He knows who to put in our lives. He knows how what we need and when we need it. Well, I guess y'all noticed the been grace for the children's church to be up here with us this morning. They're kind of few in numbers this morning, but there's a wonderful ministry, and we just thank that. And I know there's something that's got planned. But right now, we're going to turn it over to Brother Tony, if you would. Come on up, Brother Tony.
One thing you can guarantee, you definitely don't have to worry about me singing. I would hate to run everybody out of the church. This month is Pastor Appreciation Month. I think, I know I'm kind of partial to him being my father-in-law, but I think we got the best pastor that anybody could ever. I think that he does not do it all by himself. I think he'll be the first to tell you that God give him a helpmate, and with both of them, it takes two of them in the ministry, not just one. I'm thankful for Brother Eddie and Sister Penny. I'm thankful for what they mean to me, for the difference they've made in my life. Last week, Brother Eddie was presented with a little something for Pastor Appreciation. I'm not going to say we wanted to give him something that he could use, that he wanted. But I was hoping when he left, he was like, not that he did, please don't. But I was hoping he was like, man, I wish it had been a little something different. Because today we have something we want to present to Brother Eddie and Sister Penny. It's for both of them. They made such an impact in our lives. They made such an impact in my life. One thing I can say is I think I've been about everywhere I can be with them, both of them. We've been on vacation. I ain't been hunting with Sister Penny, but I've been hunting with Brother Eddie. We've been fishing. We've around the house, ball games, and they're the same no matter where you go. That's hard to find nowadays. It's hard to find somebody who truly has given their life to Christ and truly lives what they preach. And that, the older I get, the older I get, the more I realize how rare that is, but how much we appreciate. Brother and Sister Penny, I'm going to hold it if you will take your paper off. Okay, there's something out there. Does that tell you anything?
Not really.
Like one of your biscuits.
He said that looks like one of my biscuits. It don't, because I don't make biscuits.
It's just a rock. This is, if we got both of y'all, we'll just do it. That's good. That's all you get to see is the pictures. Thirty years is a long time to be pastoring. As far as I know, the board got together and people talked. And our goal is to do something that they've never had before. So the church is going to send them a week to, and I really didn't know how to present it. This is a stone, but it's yellow. So the church is going to send them on a, if it's where they want to go, to Yellowstone for a week to fly out their flags. I know that don't make up for the 30 years that he's been pastoring, but we hope it's something they could go, they could enjoy, they could get away and just enjoy nature, enjoy each other, and enjoy the Lord and thank him. So we just wanted y'all to know that we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We hope this is something y'all would like. And the children's church has just got one little thing they want to present, and then we'll, yeah.
Thank you. Thank y'all. Oh, that's sweet. Thank y'all. Oh, my goodness.
Now,
look coming here.
Y'all have to do that.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you.
Those cards are from Kids Church, and if you've ever had a bunch of kids give you cards, it's one they make themselves, so. Some of them may just be pictures, it may be lines, because they're from 2 to 12. So thank y'all. Thank you for your dedication to the Lord. Thank you for your dedication to this church and everyone at church.
Y'all, this was, I'm shocked. I mean everybody here, y'all are just so good to us, but that's just, wow, that's just way too much, but I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
thank y'all from the depths of our heart for the wonderful gifts, my goodness. But thank you for your love, most of all, and for your faithfulness. We appreciate each and every one of you. I won't be able to convey in just a few words how much you mean to me, but hopefully somehow maybe I'll get around to letting each and every one of you know personally. And I can't read those cards right now because I'd be crying. So I'll have to read those in the privacy of my home as those precious children, amen, just took the time to make a little card. My. If ever I needed the anointing of God to preach a message, certainly be today. And Sister Lori, I don't think I have planned any visual aids today, but you never know. I didn't really plan the one Wednesday night. It just happened. But until I can get around to you personally, I want to thank y'all for the prayers, the thoughts, the kindness, the song. Everything has just been so precious. And by faith, I'm thanking you for the food that's been prepared. <'Cause> I know it's great. I mean, yeah, we got the best cooks in the world and the most generous. So if y'all will pray for me, I'm going to try to bring a message to you this morning. Amen. God's love is great. And he tells us to love one another as he has loved us. And you certainly have shown me and Sister Penny that love over these 30 years. And, I still believe in miracles. I looked in the mirror and, well, I don't look like I did 30 years ago. I'm a far cry from what my hair used to be sort of dark and I used to be sort of slender. Now I'm not. But one thing has not changed, and that's my love for this church and my love. Whoa. We better get to the word. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 14. Genesis chapter 14, beginning with verse number 14. When you get there, say, God is good. Yes, he is. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house. I want to read that again. He armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back, everybody say brought back, all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for the precious spirit that we feel in this place this morning. God, we're thankful for all of our children, God, that you've blessed us with, this wonderful congregation. Father, I ask, Lord, right now, God, that you would arm me with your spirit. I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay, God, just to be a vessel that you might speak to our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you in faith, God, that for that you're going to do. And I ask you now, Lord, to just bless and anoint this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you love Jesus, let him know it with a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. To say that I am stirred with this message would certainly be a very under a thought. It has stirred me this entire week. Before I get into it, let me just share this topic with you, or the title. It would be No Soul Left Behind. No Soul Left Behind. If there was ever a time that the church needed to reach lost souls, it's certainly today, in this hour that we're living in. If ever there was a time for the church to be concerned in prayer vigils, as well as witnessing, as well as going out and compelling those that are lost to get their hearts right with God. What a merciful God, what a loving God, what a forgiving God that we serve. And we need to take advantage of that, and we need to make sure those of us, man, that are a part of the church, we need to check our own spiritual walk with God and make sure that we are ready to meet Him. I want to go back in history just a little bit. Tell us about Lot's situation. Abram, as he is known before God changed his name to Abraham, has taken Lot in. Lot's dad and Abram were brothers. Lot's dad had passed away. And Abram had taken in Lot and his family and all of his household under his hand, and he was caring for them. Now, Abram obeys God and moves his family, which includes Lot. They move to a place that God is going to show them of, and they eventually settle there. And something begins to happen in the household. Not so much with Abram and Lot, but with the herdsmen of Lot and Abram. Understand that they were both wealthy. The Bible tells us that both were righteous. But strife and contention begin to well up with the herdsmen. And they begin to almost come to blows. And Abram stepping in, being the patriarch of that family, said, we got to do something about this. We can't let this happen. We can't let it cause division. So let us separate. Lot, you and your household and your herdsmen. We'll give you the first choice of whichever direction that you want to go. So Lot agrees, and he looks toward the plains of Jordan, which are very fertile lands, would be perfect for his herds and perfect for whatever animals he has, and also for the growth of vegetation. And it was just very appealing to his eye. So he chooses the fertile land. Abram does not get upset. He does not say, oh, you chose the best. He simply took what was left. So he went on to the rocky part of the land. Time passed by, and even though Lot, listen to me, church, listen to me, young people, listen to me, saints of God. Even though Lot was a righteous man and was faithful to God, he had his situations, but all in all, he was righteous. But he chose a land that was full of evil people. And let me tell you something, it is very difficult to live a holy and righteous life in the midst of evil people, or evil surroundings, or an evil environment. It's not impossible, it's just difficult. I'm afraid that so many people today are trying to live a holy and righteous life, and they've surrounded themselves in an evil environment. Many times with people that do not profess a relationship with God, and maybe even take it further, don't want a relationship with God. And I know we want to let our light shine, and I know that we want to be holy and faithful to God and win souls to the Lord, but we have to be very, very particular and careful what transpires around us when we're trying to live a holy and righteous life. I don't know about you, but when I have a prayer request, I call the church people. I said, I get in touch with God's people. I get in touch with those that I have something in common with them. Amen. I get in touch with those that have been a prayer warrior for years and years and years. I get in touch with those who have a testimony of healing in their life and don't care what's going on. They'll stop what they're doing and they'll pray for you and agree with you in the name of Jesus. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying as much as possible, surround yourself with righteous people, holy people, people that believe in prayer, people that love God, and people that love you.
man, because you never know when you're going to need the assistance of those people. So Lot was doing fairly well in this land, this fertile land, the plains of Jordan. And the kings of the plains begin to be in war. And the Bible tells us that several of the kings joined together and banded together, and they came against the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember those names? That's where Lot dwelled. And they came in and they overran the king and Sodom and Gomorrah, and they plundered them, and they stole their goods, and it included stealing the goods of Lot and taking Lot and his family captive. So what seemed like a wonderful choice has turned into a spiritual nightmare. How many knows that we have to live by the decisions that we make? Sometimes what looks very appealing is in fact not really appealing down the road. You know, Abram had to take what was left. But you know what? He may remain true to God, and God was blessing him even in situations that didn't seem as appealing as what Lot chose. But, you know, news came to Abram. Church, I want you to really listen spiritually to what I believe God has laid upon my heart. Because this is a type and shadow. Because Abram was still faithful to God. And we understand that his servants was faithful to God. We understand that they were trained by Abram, who was faithful and a friend of God. But many times when a brother or sister maybe have been not necessarily friendly to us, maybe the saying is, sort of stabbed you in the back. Maybe did something that was not really what a brother or sister should do. But how many knows, as time passes by, that person may need your help. And that person may need your prayers. And that person may need your faithfulness. So Abram was there and had every opportunity to say, well, you know what? Got what he deserved. He made his bed, let him lay in it. He made the choice. But you know what? And we talked to Brother Chris about this other day. God almost gave me a message concerning this. Abram was more than friendly with God. He was a friend of God. I run into a lot of people that are friendly with God. But that's very different than being a friend of God. How many knows a friend sticketh closer than a brother? Amen. How many's glad we got a friend in Jesus? Well, has Jesus got a friend in us? So one of the servants came and he told him the bad news. Sodom and Gomorrah has been overrun by the kings of the land. And your, in fact, he said, your brother, which in fact it was his nephew, but he had taken him into his household. And he said, Lot has been taken captive, his family, all of his goods have been stolen, and now he is in captivity. Abram immediately began to make provision to go and deliver and bring back his brother. No soul left behind. You may have every right to feel that animosity or that hurtfulness for what someone has done or said in your life. But can we, as friends of God, as spiritual saints, look past that and look into the soul of that person and say, you know what, regardless of what they've done, regardless of how they acted, there's still a soul, and that soul needs to be returned to the house of God. That soul does not need to be left behind. Amen. Who am I to be judgmental? Amen. It might be me that was out there needing that help, but I'm going to go and deliver my brother because he is my brother. So Abraham, or Abram at this time, begins to get his house ready. And I love this. I love this. Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants that was born in his house. You remember a while ago I said a type and shadow. If ever I have to be in a spiritual foxhole, if ever I'm on the battlefield for the Lord, I want to be surrounded by the servants of God who have been born into the kingdom of God and have been trained by God Almighty himself. Amen? Because I've learned through history that when God is on our side, we're going to be victorious. We're going to win. And thank God for the army that God has. See, that was raised and born in the church, born into the kingdom of God, trained by the Lord himself. What a mighty army that is. Doesn't mean that it's the greatest in number. Doesn't mean that it's the most qualified. It just means we've been trained by God. 380, I believe he said, those that he had personally trained. What does he do? He sets out. Remember, if you read that, they were five different kings, I think, who had joined together and band together. And they was a mighty army. They went and they just absolutely overran Sodom and Gomorrah, took everything that they wanted and left. But you know what? Abram said, these 380 men that I've got who have been trained and born in my house, we're going to go after them. And he goes and he divides them up in the darkness of night. And he overruns them, and he chases them down to Dan, and he chases them down to the other Hobah, to amen, because he knows that the power that God has given him. And let me tell you something, just because Abram, amen, had been sort of rejected by Lot, just because Lot had sort of turned his back on Abram, Abram didn't turn his back on Lot, because what Abram had was a relationship with God that helps him to look past what has happened in his life. Help him to look past the wrong. Help him to look past the hurt. Help him to look past the bitterness. Why? Because he's a soul. He's my brother. And I want to return it back to the house. Amen. We don't need to let Satan take any of our children, any of our brothers or sisters. Let me just pause for just a moment. I certainly don't want you to even make a notion to nod your head or anything, but is there a lot in your life? An L-O-T. Is there a person in your life, man, that needs to be returned, that needs to be brought into the body of Christ? Maybe they were hateful to you. Maybe they said bad things about you. Might have even said, I don't want nothing to do with you anymore. Amen. But if we will look past the bitterness, if we'll look past the hurt feelings, look way down into the avenues, there is a soul there. There is a soul there. What does the army say? No man left behind. What does the army of Christ ought to say? No soul left behind. Can I tell you right now, church, we come into the conference, this wonderful place of this tabernacle of praise and worship, and God has blessed us. Just look around and see what God has done for us. But right now, somewhere in an alley, somewhere in a dark place, somewhere in a room, there is a soul. Amen. A soul that's weighing right now in the balance, is a soul that maybe once felt the love of a family, but no longer, because they've been thrown out. They've been on their own. They've done so many things. And I'm not condoning what those souls have done. I'm just reminding the church that there's souls out there that need us to arm ourselves in the power of the Holy Ghost and march out and begin to return to the house of God. Those that have lost, those that have fallen by the wayside, those that are strung out on dope, those that are alcoholics, those that have been hurt. We don't need to leave a soul behind. Man. So he arms himself and he gets ready and he goes back and he smote them, pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods. All the goods. Somewhere right now, there's a soul. And the devil's jumped all over them and said, you know what? There's not a person in this world that cares anything about you. You've lost everything. You've lost your job. You lost your family. You've even lost the friendship. And the love, maybe, the devil's telling you, you've even lost the love of your family. I mean, those devils a liar. Why do we even listen to him? Come on, church, why do we even listen to it? We know he's, you know, somebody said, how do you know when they're lying? Their lips are moving. When Satan's lips are moving, he's lying. He's telling you a lie. Amen. He's not out for any of your good. He wants to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you completely. But right now, there's a soul out there somewhere, many, many souls, that need somebody to reach out to them. Not a soul left behind. So Abram, the friend of God. Because he's a friend of God, he overlooked the hard feelings. He overlooked the bitterness, maybe the strife and anger that had welled up. And maybe they hadn't spoken in years. I don't know. I'm just projecting that. Just an opinion. You know how things happen sometimes when you get separated, and maybe it come across. I'm not saying that even though Abram was a perfect, I'm not saying that he was perfect even though he was a friend of God. Maybe as he and his servants were out there digging in that old rock-infested ground, trying to sow some grass for their herds. And Satan comes up to him and says, Abram, you know if you'd have had the plains of Jordan, you wouldn't have had to do all this. The fertile land was already there. The grass was already growing. It had been a perfect... If you were looking for a place to raise sheep and to raise cattle, the plains of Jordan would have been the ideal place. But what did Abram get? Because he was kind, because he was a friend of God, he let Lot choose first, and he takes what's left. Glory to God. Well, let me tell you something. God can take a hard, stony ground and make it fruitful. Can I get a witness? Can I get a testimony? Amen. Glory to God. Because as I said earlier, what looks appealing to the eye is not always what your soul needs. I want to tell you something. Some of the times that I've got closest to God, some of the times that I've felt his power the greatest, is when I'm out there digging in a hard ground, trying to make a living, trying to make things spiritual grow, trying to get somebody saved. But I'm going to tell you, folks, amen, God will bless the efforts that we put forth if we do it for Jesus, if we do it for the Lord. So Abram goes, and he completely overruns the enemies. Man, amazing. It's amazing how God could completely destroy the enemy who has come in and stolen and taken everything from you. And when we realize that what he has taken and what he has destroyed is not really what we needed. What we need is our dependency on God. Hallelujah. You see, because God allows things happen sometimes to get us where we need to be. And sometimes he just allows things happen to shove it in Satan's face. Just like Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? You know what? If Job had not been faithful and true to God, he would have been devastated. But he had the mindset that, you know what? I didn't bring anything into this world. Brother David, I'm not going to take anything with me. You know why I'm not going to take anything with me? Because I ain't got nothing that even belongs in heaven except my soul. And when my soul gets there, I believe through the word of God that God has already prepared everything that I'm ever going to have need of is going to be prepared for me. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared for those that love him. Amen. If you're looking forward to going to heaven, get your hands together for Jesus, because it's great. And sometimes The things that we lose, maybe we didn't need them anyway. But here comes Abram. Abram didn't have to do anything except, you know what, I'm going to get Lot and his family and bring them back. But Abram took it a step further. He said, I want to restore everything that he lost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want him to feel like he is definitely a part of the church again. Come on. What do you mean, Brother Eddie? Let's don't just be satisfied, and hear me out, of getting them back and getting them saved, but let's restore what they had. Come on. You know, a sinner can discern, even if you tell them, I love you, but they can discern if you really, really mean it. Amen. I want to be like the Father when the prodigal son returned. Oh, this is my son that was lost, but now he's found. Go get the fatted calf. Go get the very best blessing. Go get the robe and put on him to signify that he is no longer a prodigal. He is no longer an outcast. I'm going to return him to the power that he once was, to the royalty. Go get a ring and put it on his finger. When they come back in to the family of God, let's love them like they never left. Come on, let's love them, let's welcome them. That is our brother who was lost, but now he is found. Praise God. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again not his nephew Lot, but his brother Lot. There's a reason that we call one another brothers and sisters. You know why? It's the same DNA. Same DNA. I got a brother who lives in Jacksonville, Florida. But you know what? He has the same DNA. Amen. When we're born into the body of Christ, we have the same spiritual DNA. Whether you realize it or not, you've had a blood transfusion. His blood, spiritually, now flows through our veins. Thank God for the blood. We talked about that Wednesday night. We bled our heart out that Wednesday night talking about the blood. Amen. But thank God for the blood, that spiritual DNA to let us know that it is our brother. It is our brother. Church, I ask us this morning, are we a friend of God? So much so that can we lay aside the hurt, lay aside the anger, lay aside the bitterness, and go back and not leave one soul behind. Maybe that soul lives in your neighborhood. Maybe that soul works where you shop. Maybe that soul cuts, trims your hair. Whatever the case may be. Church, we don't need to be satisfied with just the few that God has given us. We don't need to leave a soul behind. And you know what? It's easy for us to think about those souls that we really do love. But how about those souls that have done you wrong? And not being judgmental. God didn't call us to be judges. Amen? How many knows that? He called us to be a witness. But is there someone in your life? And pray about it. Don't just do it because the pastor said it. But if there's someone in your life that maybe has been estranged from you, maybe hadn't been real friendly to you, maybe even haven't returned your love in years and years, remember, let's don't leave a soul behind. Let's don't leave a soul. You know how easy it would have been for Abram? I'm sorry. He made his choice. But immediately, Abram began to make plans to go and bring back that brother because he didn't want a soul left behind. Church, I pray that we get this spiritual urgency. I pray that the rest of this year, this balance of this year, and if the Lord delays his coming and we're still alive next year, I pray that this urgency doesn't die. Let's restore unto the house of God those that have lost and gone astray those that are right now in a situation that they don't think they have a friend in this world, let's reach out to them and let's love them. And let's leave absolutely no soul left behind. I want to ask you honestly, and again, don't raise your hand or don't even nod, but is there a soul somewhere in your life, in your family, in your neighborhood, somebody somewhere, somebody you work with that really needs our prayers? You know, and it's not always easy. It's not always easy because the situation that they've gotten themselves into. But you know what? We need to reach out to them and we need to love them. And you know the story. This is not the first time nor the last that Abram had to reach out to Lot. Even though Lot was returned, he went back to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he still tried to live a holy and righteous life in an unholy environment. The Bible talks about come out from among them. And be said, I know we have to operate, I know we have to live, and I know we have to take care of our situation. But you know what? We can be in the world and not of the world. Amen. God bless you, church. I love you. I want us to get a hunger for lost souls. I want us to see a revival hit this land like it's never, ever before. And those that you thought of, those people that came to your mind, don't just pass them over and don't just say, you know what, I'm tired of working with them. I'm tired of asking them. There's a lot of us that wouldn't be in church today if somebody had got tired of asking us or tired of praying for us. But thank God for those saints. We were talking about the other day, who's going to fill their shoes? We've got saints of God who already been on, already gone home to their precious reward, who took this literally, and we went out and began to search for souls and bring them back, amen, to the altar of God, bring them back in the household of God. But you know what? We're that generation now. We're the ones, amen, that I got to pick that banner up and hold it high and say, you know what, Lord? Give us lost souls for our labor. My grandmother used to pray for that almost every time she prayed. Father, give us lost souls for our labor. Amen. Not that we'll be patting ourselves on the back. Amen. But because we don't want any soul left behind. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there a soul here today that feels like you've been left behind? Maybe Satan has convinced you that your family don't really care about you. Maybe you've lost friends. And let me tell you something about friends. As I mentioned, Abraham, he was a friend of God, more than just being friendly. There are people in this world, as long as you have a good time and go along with them, they'll be friendly. But you let hard times hit you and they won't be your friend. They'll leave you quicker than you can bat your eye. Why? Because they don't really care that much about you. They just wanted to have a good time with you. But I can point you to Jesus Christ, who will be your friend forever. He won't cast you aside. He'll love you. He'll forgive you. He'll save you and fill your whole, fill your life and your soul with His precious Spirit. While every head is bowed, every saint of God is praying, is there one today that feels like, Lord, you know what? I'm not where I need to be. I don't feel right. I know that you live in my life and all, but God, I want to rededicate. I want to make sure that I am ready to go. Should you come or call? While no one is looking around, is there one that would come? Is there one that would just lift your hand and let this pastor know, I won't come after you. I won't get you. I'll just pray for you. God bless those hands. I see them and God sees them. Again, I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for your faithfulness, for your kindness. Hopefully I can get around to each and every one of you and let you know just how much I love you and how much I care. May God bless each and every one is our prayer. Praise God.
pray that you would save her soul, God. Bless her family and strengthen them and comfort them right now, God, as we pray. Change her life. Turn it around for the better. God, honor the faith of this precious family as they stand on behalf of their cousin. Reach now, right now, to her, Lord. Touch her, anoint her, heal her, save her soul. And may we pray. Honor it. Let her know that we've got them. I need you in my life. I need your spirit. I need your healing. I need your strength. I need your comfort. God, I can't go on like this. But God, I'm turning it over to you right now. I'm releasing it out of you, Lord. I'm not going to try to fix it anymore. Oh, it's too big for me, God. But nothing is impossible with you, Lord. Right now, speak healing. Speak deliverance. Get a victory. Oh, my God.
my cancer. Lord, I'm going to receive my healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we rebuke this sickness. We rebuke this condition. Strengthen her life. Give her that strength. Not only physical, but spiritual. God, I pray, Lord, that there will be a happy reunion. God, we know you're working it out now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that God will save. Your glory in us. Save me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Touch her, Lord. Touch her in Jesus' name, I pray. Strengthen her, Lord.
In the name of the Most High God. Lord, for your healing power, Father God. Thank you for your strength, Father God, that only.
pray right now, Lord, selfishness whatsoever. We know that that's only a tool of the enemy, God, and we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her, God, equip her, Lord, right now, God, to go forward in the name of Jesus, right now, Lord. God, every witness, everything that comes against her, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, give her victory right now. Lord, liberate her, God, from all of this, all of this distraction. In the name of Jesus, right now. God, speak to you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. God has given us power over that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let that power rise up within you right now. Glory to God. That Holy Ghost power that God has given you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. He won't. That's His promise. We have the comfort of His Holy Spirit, sister. Glory to God. Use that power. Use that anointing that God has blessed us with. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord one more hand clap. He deserves it. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Let's just want to worship Him and thank you for this beautiful morning He's given us, this opportunity we have to come together. It's a new day. It is a new time in the Lord Jesus. We just love Him and just thank Him. I know He's healing. I know He's touching. He's just refreshing, reassuring. And also on this day of celebration, as we go forth and we prepare for our luncheon next door, we just have a celebration of our pastor. And just want to, I'm just overwhelmed in God's almightiness and the answering of prayers and healing. I know we just love you, each and all of y'all, but we love the Lord, and we thank you for being with us. As we get ready to dismiss, they've asked me to go ahead and to ask the Lord to bless our meal next door. Also, we're going to ask if you would, in honor of Brother Eddie and Miss Penny, would ask if y'all would let them go first, any of the other ministers after that, and then we'll just go ahead and just have a wonderful afternoon. Praise the Lord. All right, with this prayer, we're not only going to, we'll just dismiss from the chapel and we'll move over to the Curtis Center. And everybody's invited. We'd love to have y'all join us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, thank you. Lord, we just want to thank you for your presence, dear Lord. Thank you for allowing us to feel your holy presence, your spirit, dear Lord, and know that you're with us through your message, Lord, through your word, but, dear Lord, just through your comfort, dear Lord. Thank you for answering these prayers. Lord, we know that you're healing, dear Lord. We know that you're putting families back together. Lord, I know that you're giving us that power to move forward, dear Lord, through your Holy Ghost, through your spirit. Dear Lord, there will be no doubt or fear, dear Lord, as we go forward. Lord, again, now as we prepare for this celebration to continue, Lord, we ask that you'll bless the food next door. We thank you for the preparation. We ask you to bless those hands that prepared it, those that decorated. Lord, those that have put forth so much effort into this luncheon this afternoon today, dear Lord, and we just thank you for it. Lord, we ask now for your blessings to be upon the food. Bless it to nourish our body and soul. But, dear Lord, as we go forth, Lord, may we be about your business. Now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we love you in Jesus' name, the most precious name above. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. See y'all next door.